The opening ceremony of the Sochi Winter Olympics will be held tomorrow, but some events actually begin today. Global competition to host the Olympic Games can be fierce. What motivates officials to seek the Olympics? What have past host cities gotten out of all of the work and expense? Are they better off, or are there regrets? Well, joining us on Current State today are Eva Cassens-Noor, an assistant professor at Michigan State University's School of Planning, Design, and Construction, and the author of Planning Olympic Legacies, Transport Dreams, and Urban Realities. Eva, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Also joining us today, Planning, Design, and Construction professor Mark Wilson, her colleague, in what's called a massive open online course, a MOOC, being conducted during the Sochi Olympics. Mark is also the chair of the International Geography Union's Commission on Global Information Society. Welcome, Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Journalists in Sochi have been tweeting about atrocious conditions in hotels there, unfinished rooms, brown tap water. I think everyone was talking about that yesterday. Stray dogs wandering in and out, that sort of thing. If Russia was hoping the Olympics would turn Sochi into a tourist destination, why do they seem so unprepared for visitors?
Well, there's two sides of the story, I think. One side of the story is that the media usually pushes the bad stories before the games begin. Reason being, they want to establish a picture that once the games start, everything is fine, they're managed, it was a success story. The other side of the story, obviously, is that this is a part of the country that has not been well developed. And these conditions are not usually broadcasted to the world. So now this draws particular attention from journalists.
NBC ran a story this week, Mark Wilson, about how prevalent computer hacking is in Russia. The story ended with the advice that people going to the Olympics should leave their computers and smartphones at home, if at all possible. Internet security is clearly seems to be a problem here.
Well, I think for any games, though, security is a challenge. And I think what's happened here is that it's more obvious that there's going to be the interception of messages. There will be monitoring of signals. Clearly, the Russians have a lot at stake here. And there's already recognized terror threats that have come close to Sochi. So I'm not surprised that they are managing it in a fairly repressive way, because the last thing they want to do is have something go wrong. And so anyone who's going to go there is going to be very highly scrutinized to prevent any type of terrorist activity.
In the end, how confident are both of you that the just from your involvement in this topic, how do you feel about getting through this Olympics without a serious incident, any kind of serious incident?
I think getting through it is likely without a serious incident.
Really?
Because
okay.
The police forces and the security get ramped up to a very, very high standard. And if you look or backtrace, very little has happened during the Olympics. I mean, we had Atlanta in 96, we had an incident. We had in London before the Olympics, but then during the Olympics, security was extremely high and it deterred terrorist attacks. So my best guess would be that I think it will go through without a hitch.
Mark Wilson, do you agree?
I agree that it will go through without a hitch, but it will come at a cost. And the cost will be those people who are there will either have their actions limited, their mobility constrained. The Olympics will, I think, look very impressive. But one way I've started to look at the Olympics in a case like this is it's like a set. It's like the Truman Show, that it is designed for global media with billions of people watching. And those who are participating, the athletes are there for their sport, and the spectators there are an audience in a program. And so to me, it's how it looks globally in media is what will be the measure of success. And those who are there, in fact, may have quite a difficult time enjoying the ambience, which is usually one of the benefits of going to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. There's a track record of Olympic events losing money. What are Olympic host cities hoping to gain, Eva?
Well, one thing Mark had just mentioned is global attention, media attention. By now, the research is pretty solid that this is the case. However, economic benefits are usually short-term, primarily construction sectors, tourism, yes, during the Olympics in itself, maybe the year after, but it goes down as well. Now the new trend, let's say about the last decade, was urban redevelopment, or this legacy that we hear more and more, legacy as a form of impact that the Games have on the host city or on the host nation.
And tell us about your course, this MOOC, the massive massive open online course you're conducting during the Sochi Olympics.
Yeah, we thought this would be a great opportunity to reach out and connect with people. We have an interest group at MSU, Mega Event Planning, and we do a lot of research. We're very interested in how mega events affect people and places. And so here was an opportunity to work through MSU. We have a colleague, Lisa Robinson, in MSU Libraries working with us to put together a program that asks people to look beneath the surface. It's easy to watch a sporting event and it's candy. You have it, consume it, and it's gone. We want people to think about it. How do you interpret it? What's happening behind the scenes? What are the motivations? What will Sochi get out of it? We want people to look at all elements of the Olympics and think about what it means beneath the surface. So we have this free course, though it's more a program or an experience. We have some fun trivia questions, but it's not a course in the traditional sense. But we have five modules that will take you through the history of the Olympics, the events, the athletes, what happens after the Olympics is over. So it's really a way to connect to people and essentially be their companion. It's like we're sitting there with you, saying interesting things, explaining some of the background as the course unfolds along with the Olympics.
And you're actually getting started during the actual, during the live opening ceremony.
So we had tomorrow. Two modules before then. That gives a little bit of background. And tomorrow is our key event where we have during the live opening ceremony as well as the NBC broadcast, we'll have live feeds of Twitter where people can share their opinions, can share their views, and we'll try to explain what's going behind the scenes.
What's the, I'm curious, just for the both of you, what's the largest, most memorable event like this, like the Olympics, that you that each of you have ever attended? I mean, in researching your book, did you visit some of these sites, these former sites?
I visited all sites that I've discussed in my book and live. I was in London 2012, I was in Atlanta 96, and I was in Athens 2004.
Oh, okay. Mark, what about you?
I was in Vancouver 2010 and London 2012.
Okay.
And both fabulous experiences. Even if you don't see an event, the spirit of the city is pretty exciting.
Why did Sochi want the Olympics?
I think we've estimated now that about 150 cities around the world are in bidding mode for these large-scale events like the Olympic Games, like FIFA World Cups, like World's Fairs. It's a trademark, I believe, or we believe it is for the city and for the country to get that global attention, to get the legacies, the strong momentum of redeveloping a site into, for example, Sochi looked at making it Russia's prime destination for sports.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kinds of drivers that cities want the Games for, to accelerate these plans.
And how does the IOC deal with all of these sites, these cities that want to host? What goes into their decision-making process?
Well, the number of cities that consider hosting and then decide not to, then you get to a small group that will apply to be a host. And then the IOC will review them and then produce a short list to be reviewed by the IOC and voted on them. So at the moment, there is a short list going forward, or an applicant pool going forward for the 2022 Winter Olympics. So those cities have invested heavily in preparing, analyzing, studying what would be necessary to host the next Winter Olympics that is up for award. And those cities are all using the event, hopefully, for something productive. We often see the mega events, the Olympics, as a means to an end. Cities that see it as an end result and that's it, I think, tend to fail. Cities that see the Olympics as moving the city forward, of improving the life for the residents, of offering new opportunities, that motivation tends to produce a much more successful outcome, we feel.
I see the next Winter Olympics is scheduled for South Korea in 4 years, and the next Olympic site is Rio de Janeiro in 2016. Are those on your radar? What are you processing how those are unfolding?
Yeah, both of us have visited Pyeongchang already, and I particularly work on the Rio 2016 Olympics, and I'm interested in that legacy piece where they look at how to redesign their city to be the next global city, set it up as a large-scale transportation system, as a hub, moving forward many, many infrastructural projects, being it airport, being it bus rapid transit system, being it the tourism industry.
We've been talking Olympic legacies with Eva Cassens-Noor, an assistant professor in the Michigan State University School of Planning, Design, and Construction, and her colleague Mark Wilson. They're both involved in a MOOC, a massive open online course conducted during the Sochi Olympics. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.